1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. Take it easy on him, text line. Take it easy.
He was fighting with
Take it easy.
Guys both getting more fights with the text
line. We get in arguments on the show. We obviously give Drew a hard time a lot. The text line, though, you guys will go back and forth. And some hateful things are being said.
It's a little too personal.
I mean, they can call me. So I don't call anybody any names or anything like that. You guys can call me names. Like, I can take it.
I don't think I would open yourself up to that.
No. I'll go ahead and open it up. You can do whatever you want to. That's fine. But just keep the same energy. Keep the same energy regardless. There were a lot of people. Well, Drew, you're making excuses. Well, I think that, you know, the same can be said for every fan base in every situation. And I think you should keep the same energy.
Okay.
It's just because it's the Bengals and me, I guess, that everybody wants to rail on me about it. I can take it. It's okay.
Okay. Look, we're just making sure you're good.
Somebody call me an idiot. That's all you got?
That's actually, yeah. Like, that's what
I've been called worse things, you know?
I will say, like, if you're going to really try to get under my skin on the text line, the first 10 you're thinking of that you think are really going to get me, you get further down the list. Get more creative with your insults.
I can always come back with the, I was supposed to die when I was a month old. Like, my parents were told I wasn't going to live anymore. So, and I'm here. So you can't tell me anything that's going to make me sad. And y'all can go ahead and keep it.
What the hell? What a crazy
thing. Keep it coming. Keep it coming, y'all.
I'm just going to talk to Big 12. And then Drew's like, well, I was almost a dead baby, but
keep it coming.
Other than that,
keep it coming.
Can't hurt me.
I'm not even supposed to be here. Dang.
Were they wrong, though? Or did you have the
evidently
thing
so.
And you just were a survivor?
No, I had something that there was a significantly high, like 90 percentile likelihood that I was going to die. Like nobody in the state of Indiana, I don't think, had this in the year that I was born and survived, essentially, is how lucky I was.
What is this thing?
It's called infantile periartillary nodosa. If you've ever heard of Kawasaki disease, your skin turns gray. Your body like, swells up and turns gray. Like my body was as gray as my hoodie, apparently, I guess, according to my parents.
I mean, obviously, that's thank goodness.
Yeah.
But the fact that you...
Someone put R.I.P. Drew.
The way you just brought it up, though, man, was wild. Like, yeah, you guys are being mean to me. You know what? I should be dead, so
you can't hurt me.
Hey, you guys can't hurt me,
even Kawasaki disease couldn't hurt me.
Yeah, you guys... Yeah, come on now. You guys can say whatever you want to. I'm going to open it up. I'm good. I'm taking
That's
care of.
Crazy.
I am taking care of.
Yeah, zero to 100.
Yes, 100%.
It felt like it escalated so fast.
Y'all are escalating on the text line. So you know what? I'll make you feel bad as well as
true.
You can keep it coming.
We're glad you're here. I'm sure Joe Burrow is glad you're a supporter of his too.
I bet you he is. Yeah. You know that would be. I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad to be a supporter of his.
Somebody says they saw Kawasaki degrees on Grey's Anatomy. Says it's overlooked because it's so uncommon. Is that what Dr. Gray said, or are you just saying that based off learning it?
Wait, Kawasaki? Like the jet skis?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the infant version of that disease, essentially.
Okay. The ultimate wild card. I shouldn't be here. You can't say anything to me.
Yeah.
You can't.
I can't come back to me for that.
To say you can't hurt me and then mention something horrible that's happened to you, right?
It's the same thing as like to me. So you guys know, like, I stutter every now and then. I can make jokes about myself stuttering and it's totally fine. If anybody else does it, fine. I hope you feel better about yourself. Like, I can make jokes about myself. Like, I stutter, you know, but
should we all say something?
I can make jokes about myself. It's all good.
Should we all say something about our medical history so Drew doesn't have to be alone? Yeah.
Well,
already told us a lot, Cody, about your medical history.
Ironically, no joke. I was in now it's just turning very weird. When I was a baby, it wasn't a disease, but they didn't think I was going to make it here because I have a twin. You guys know this. And I was born 30 plus minutes apart. It's because I wouldn't come. I lost a bunch of oxygen. I was in NICU like a week or so, stuff like that. But anyway, just the way you brought it up was unbelievable. That's all. Anyway, let's talk. Unless Cody, do you have one? Do you have a story?
I just had jaundice, like a normal baby. That's all I got. I don't, you know.
Anyways,
classic stuff.
Let's talk about the Big 12 now. Let's talk about the Big 12.
All these people arguing about the Big 12. I don't even care. Why does everybody get upset? I could be dead right now.
Who cares?
Relax,
look,
y'all.
I think that there are multiple things that stand out from the Big 12, at least from the Brett Yormark thing. One is that Brett Yormark very clearly is going to try to position himself as, I'm a man about business. We're doing overseas games. People are going to know our properties. They're going to know the Big 12. We're going nationwide with this thing. And the idea that he is personally willing to risk Big 12 teams not getting in the college football playoff. If he has any say about it, they'll end in the 5 plus 11. Those were easily the two biggest things for me. That and like the media poll thing is just kind of funny.
Yes.
I get that they got rid of it. We can talk about it for a minute. But the two biggest ones to me are he is actively fighting for international brand. And I think they've done a pretty good job branding wise since Yormark's come over.
He has done a good job.
And again, they're willing to risk getting two automatic qualifiers for the Big 12 and just say, if we play it out, I think we'll get two anyway, which is a risk considering the Big 10 and the SEC run college football.
Yeah, they have got to make sure that they could slow play this as much as possible. Eventually, I still think we're going to head to the Big 10 and the SEC controlling even more than they already do. But you want to delay that as long as possible. And can you beat out the ACC if you're the Big 12? And I agree that 16 teams is the best model, an 5 plus 11 model in particular. But I think in December we had the conversation with the way the college football played out. And I think we were all on the same page. I can't remember. I think maybe Drew and I were aligned on this. I can't remember. But where it's like, hey, the Big 12, you know, they had an opportunity of guaranteeing themselves two spots a year or so ago, and they decided not to do that.
If it was 2-2, 2-2, I'm in. I hate giving up. I give up two automatic qualifiers, but I have to concede the fact that they get that the SEC and the Big Ten get half of the field. Half? Like, come on. They already run it, and it's already too greedy, and they already make all the money. They don't need the four spots. You could just earn them. And I guess that's what I kind of like about Yormark and the Big 12. We're not afraid to earn it. We're not afraid to earn our spot. We don't want to just be gifted to. We will earn it. And the SEC and the Big Ten, in my opinion, should feel the same way. It's not going to be hard for you to earn it. You're big dog on the street. It's not a hard, complicated system. But he's doubled down. Like the audio yesterday, he's like, I'm doubling down. I want 5 plus 11. This is the system I want in the Big 12 media days. I think it's good that he's standing behind it, whether he gets it or not.
I think it goes to show you, like, he really believes in the product that he's pushing, where it you would suspect that the Big Ten and SEC would want to do the same thing where, you know, we believe we're the best conference and we're going to try to show it to you on the field and not worry about the AQs and all the other things that, you know, come along with it. Where it takes some guts for Brett Yormark to, you know, stand there and say, not only did I say it once, but I'm going to say it again. And I want to be able to show you what the Big 12 is and what it can be and how good we actually are in comparison or as much to in comparison to the Big Ten and the SEC.
I'm not saying every single thing he's done has worked, but for the most part, since Brett Yormark has been the commissioner, I actually think he's done a phenomenal job of stabilizing the conference more, especially post-Texas, Oklahoma. I think, you know, the way they've made some changes to be open to new ideas around the Big 12 tournament, you know, I know some of the stuff hasn't come to fruition. You know, they talked about having basketball games in Harlem and stuff like at the,
they were trying to do more money.
That stuff fell through. I don't know.
It's a lot of, there's no bad ideas kind of thing.
Yeah, but he definitely is an ideas guy. He's definitely an ideas guy. And what do you have to lose if you're the Big 12? So I like a lot of it. As far as the preseason poll stuff, look, I clearly the talking point out of media days from the coaches and from the conference is that Arizona State being picked last year at media days hurt their cause when it came to the final college football playoff rankings heading into the selection committee or whatever. And maybe there's some truth to that. I don't think that was why Arizona State was ranked where they were at. So they got rid of the poll. They're not doing it. They'll still be an AP top 25 poll, but there's not a preseason coaches and media poll, which you know how I feel about the polling in general with this stuff. So like I have no issue with it. I'm kind of glad. I think it's hilarious that they got rid of it. I just think Chris Klieman had said this yesterday. Brett Yormark said it. I mean, literally every coach who's been at the podium has said, yeah, we're glad we got rid of these polls. Really hurt BYU and Arizona State last year. Like that's clearly they really.
Did the committee tell them that?
Maybe. Because I don't know.
What I'm trying to figure out is, did the committee, because they're like, well, and we know this. In the history of college football, starting lower in the rankings makes it so much harder, especially when it was just four teams, to crawl your way back in. People don't buy it as much. They don't buy into you as much and all those other things. Do people care about that when it comes to preseason media polls for a conference?
I think so, because it's a perception. Like, college
but
football
I
is
voted
very
for that, you know, and I don't know anything about college football, or I know little.
Yeah, but I think the whole sport itself is, for better or for worse sometimes, it is a perception thing. Like, because even the committee, like, who's most deserving of being in that 12th spot? Well, we think it's this, but again, that's a hypothetical scenario. But hey, what if Clemson doesn't beat SMU? Alabama's in the playoff. All of a sudden, you know, do things go a little bit differently? I think it's all perception with college football, which makes it hard to actually judge and put in the quote unquote right teams at times. Where it seems like if the Big 12 approach, if they go to 5+11. And they say, you know what, the 11 teams, we want to have it this way, and you're not going to know the way that our media feels about the Big 12, then maybe if Arizona State goes out and goes 10-3 like they did, they actually are ranked a little bit higher because they're in a power conference than, somebody else who's actually at
12 or 13. I think the polling is silly because during the season, a lot of the coaches' polls, Cody, you know this. Drew, you know this. Like, maybe not every listener knows it, but like their SIDs a lot of times vote for them, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's not
they
always.
They don't want to waste their time voting.
You think Nick
like
Saban
that.
Was sitting down and filling out
probably
a
not.
Poll every week? No. I doubt it.
It's also just incredibly biased no matter what you do. When you are a member of the University of Alabama voting on a poll, something tells me Alabama will be higher on, you know, like. Or
the SEC will be higher because the conference they play in, they respect their peers a little bit more.
Look, I've said I respect the AP poll more than any of the others. I know Golda said, like, it doesn't really matter now that we have the college football poll. The only reason I respect it is it borderline directly mirrors it. So if it does nothing else than just tell you where you are right now, it tells you where you are as of this moment. But, like, it's the preseason polls. I don't know if it actually hurt them, because I still think the argument is now you kill the Cinderella. You kill the, like, look at Arizona State. Bunch of losers is what everyone thought they were.
Yeah,
but
no.
Because all year, Arizona State got to pump their chest and say, you didn't believe in us. You didn't believe in us, and we proved you all wrong. And people and teams thrive on that sometimes. They thrive on the, you don't believe in us. We're going to prove
they can
you
still,
all wrong part of it.
They can still do that with if they're not ranked at all, or, you know, ESPN will still come out with, I'm sure, their version of their Big 12 picks, or the ESPN is probably going to create their own poll now or something for just the Big 12 or something like that. But I get what you're saying. I do think part of the narrative we heard over and over right around the end of the season with Arizona State was, man, can you believe this? They were picked to finish last. Like, it did become a talking point. I thought actually in a positive way, I could see how nationally people were like, well, the Big 12 must suck if the team that everybody thought was going to finish last won it. And that's probably what they think happened.
Yeah. And there have been times where even like, let's say, pick a random team, Cincinnati in the Big 12, or KU from last year, whatever the case is. KU goes out and they beat somebody, and they beat, let's say in this hypothetical world, Arizona State is ninth in the country. I think what, based on previous things would go, is you'd look at the preseason poll, say KU's not supposed to be good. Arizona State, if they lost to KU, then Arizona State must not be as good as we think. Or if you don't have the preseason poll, all of a sudden, instead of Arizona State just not being any good, maybe KU actually is as good as that team is. So there's more respect for both teams, as opposed to one team losing and them going from 9th to 24th in the poll. And then KU's not even ranked inside the top 25, or they're 23rd. And then your teams are all lower and not considered to be as good as other teams in other conferences.
Yeah, that's what that's definitely what the Big 12 thinks happens.
It makes you watch the games more, I think, and actually pay attention to the games more than just a number next to the name, you know?
What is SEC? Is that next week, their media days?
Yes.
Down in is it Destin? That was where they had meetings. I don't know if they do there.
That's where the meetings are. I think theirs is. Is it in? It can't be in Texas, too, is it?
SEC?
Nashville?
I think it's in Nashville.
I mean, it's a good spot to have it.
Weren't they in Mobile forever?
Yeah, they did their meetings in Destin, yes. Which, I mean, I just go right back to Destin.
They were in Birmingham for a long time. I think they might have moved with the expansion and stuff. They might be in Nashville now.
They did that state draft like us and then decided.
Well, let me see. I can,
you know.
Let's send Drew to SEC Media Days.
He'd love it. He'd be in heaven.
We'd never hear from him again, I feel like. He would just stay. He would not answer our text or calls. He'd just be in heaven, yeah.
SEC Media Days are in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, wait. They're having Media Days the same week as the All-Star Game? In the same city?
14th through the 17th.
Tough hotels.
I understand it's a big city. It's not like this is a.
I can't have two things.
Yes, but it is interesting.
It's a lot of media to all drag down.
All Star Week,
event.
And I mean, shoot, if you were covering the SEC Media Days, though, you'd just be like, oh, just
at the Omni Atlanta Hotel at Centennial Park. They've previously been to Dallas, Nashville, and Atlanta since moving from Birmingham.
Okay.
So they've stuck in the South. That makes sense.
They are the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, but they have teams in California, so they're not so southeastern that they can't, you know, just have teams anywhere.
You're saying they should take a field trip to Norman, Oklahoma, or to Oklahoma City to have the SEC Media Days one day because they got Oklahoma.
I think all Media Days should be in Kansas City. Central Point, because none of these conferences mean anything about where they're located. All Media Days moving forward for every conference.
Let's go to the epicenter of
epicenter of Media Days.
Text line wants to know which California school is in the SEC, Cody.
There's not one. I just was joking about where the conference realignment is.
They might. Who knows?
Give it time.
Who knows? I mean, Oregon obviously is in the Big Ten, so you never know.
Give it time.
Cal's in the ACC, right? Or am I wrong on that one?
Cal and Stanford are in the ACC.
Yeah.
And then, Big 12.
Out West, Oregon, Washington State, and Washington State's obviously conference-less, but...
The Big 12 at least makes more sense than the ACC and the Big 10 do, but the Big 12 is starting to stretch its legs to Florida, and they already got West Virginia in there too, so.
It's so messed up now. You don't know where any, just like the directional part of the conferences is always funny. Like Big East, and it's like half of the teams aren't East, right?
The Atlantic Coast Conference has two teams on the Pacific Coast.
The numbers were accurate for a while either. I mean.
No.
That's the thing. It's like, The Big 12 or the Big 10, obviously the Big 10 has way more than 10 teams.
Someone says
it has 20. It has doubled that amount.
Yeah. Someone says Media Day should be at the new bowling alley in Pittsburgh.
The bowling, they just for the weekend. This Saturday you can still make it.
Oh, so if you get down there ahead of the All-Star game or
that's
ahead
in Pittsburgh, though.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Yeah. Shame.
Yeah, if the nude bowling was in Atlanta the same week, then my goodness.
Everything's going on in Atlanta.
Think of all the people could have gotten
Have you guys been to Atlanta before?
Yes.
Well, you both have. Wow. Mm-hmm. In
just the once. Or twice.
I've been two different times.
Never been. That's one of the... I've been to most of the major cities in the U.S., but that's... I've not been to Atlanta. I don't know why. I just haven't... That's just not a city. I want to go to the Coca-Cola factory and stuff and all that.
The traffic is...
Or World of Cola or whatever it is.
Yeah, the traffic... We actually have been... When we were... The first time that I went to Atlanta, we went to the Coca-Cola the museum. The traffic is as advertised.
I'm surprised you haven't gone for the College Football Hall of Fame by now.
Crazy enough, I've been since they made the College Football Hall of Fame, but we didn't go to the College Football Hall of Fame. Crazy. Probably because my wife didn't really want to go. That also played a factor into it.
Fair enough.
In my experience in driving in Atlanta, it's more about... Speed of traffic is really important there. If everyone's going 95, you better be going 95.
That's how Dallas is sometimes, man.
You're going to get run off the road.
That's how
Dallas is. Drive the speed that everyone's driving.
Yeah, those highways in the Dallas Metroplex, same thing. If the speed limit is 70 and you're going 70, you feel like everybody is flying by you.
Mm. Yeah, you feel like you're causing traffic problems.
There's a few cities like Miami, Dallas, and
Chicago can be like that in certain
Miami and
on the Beltline.
Houston
stuff.
At times too. Like any of those big cities, I feel like.
Fun times over at the Big 12 Media Days.
Someone says Media Days, Drew, would have them over at Twin Peaks. So that'd be fantastic.
Careful now.
If we could get Drew out there, I bet he'd have a really good time. I think he'd have a really good time. Especially because of his near-death experience 29 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't even be here.
Hey, me doing this show is honestly, I like being here, honestly.
How many times do you think, how many times, honestly, do you think you were like, let's say a 5% chance of death in your life. I'm going to guess that mine's like 5.
Say that again?
5% chance of death. How many times?
Five times? You think you've had that many times?
Yeah.
5% chance of death?
One time somebody threw an entire aspen tree down a hill in which I was standing at the bottom of it, and it whizzed past my hair. Sure would have killed
me. Yeah, there's been multiple. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, just the one where I was robbed at gunpoint would be one of those.
That's got to be 5%. There's got to be a 5% chance.
I mean, I think that's one.
I slipped on top of a mountain once, so that's probably on the list.
Okay. Oh, my. That's something that makes my stomach
turn. My head
got split
open by a rock. We lived next door to a hospital, and I lost quite a bit of blood. I can't imagine that if we lived 10 minutes from a hospital, I'm probably not cooked.
Okay.
So, I mean.
A rock?
At least five. a huge scar in the middle.
Survival days with Cody Tapp is what I mean. Jeez.
We weren't watching. No, look, there were a lot of other dates. Like, this is a family that we created our own zip lines with rusty metal chains in the tops of old bikes. Probably plenty of times I had a chance to die. But I'm saying, you know, better than 5%. The 1% chance of deaths, that's happened a couple. You know.
You've lived quite a life then, Cody. I think at this rate. Oh, man.
Just did stuff. I don't know. Just lived our lives as kids and risked it all. Gold, you've got at least that one. Plus a few others.
Yeah, that one. I mean,
you just mentioned as a baby, so that's two.
Yeah.
I bet you get to five if you really thought about the times in which you were a closer call than you thought.
Hmm.
The time that so here's another one, Drew. When I was driving to Colorado and I was going 80, 85 miles an hour, and I drove between two deer going that speed without a seatbelt on, and one blew off the side mirror, and the other one grazed the right side of the car. That's got to be 5% from death.
Wait, the windows rolled down?
Nope, I wasn't wearing a seatbelt because it was the early 2000s, and I didn't fear way.
No.
I wear my seatbelt 100% of the time now, like a proper adult, but...
Plus and cars. He's cruise control on 30-mile-per-hour side streets, so...
You know what? My brushes with death have really lowered in my adulthood. Pretty much age 25 to 30 on, I've really decreased that number. I've been actively trying to stay alive, apparently, during that stretch. Again, if I kept thinking about it, I might have a lot more than five. Who knew?
Text line. Drew smokes all of you. He had like a 95% chance of death.
According to what the doctor said, yeah.
I mean, it looks like, of course I Googled Kawasaki disease right after that immediately. It sounds like it's a low,
It looks pretty scary.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't know because I was like a month old, so I had
I was going to say, you heard this obviously from your parents.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably scary for them. Wasn't scary for you, I guess, at all.
You don't remember anything else going on.
Man, who knows?
Someone says, got de-pantsed in middle school, about died of embarrassment, if that counts.
De-pantsed? That's tough.
Well, some people just like just bullying you and just.
Man, that's.
Oh wow, this is a heck of a story. Someone says they were in a truck that flipped 8 times, landed upside down, going 50 on a dirt road. Oh, don't know crazy. How I'm alive.
Oh yeah. My goodness!
8 times. This should have been the random question of the day. I didn't think about it. How many times did you?
Do you think
life
you were actually near
have
death?
You had a brush with death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know we were going to have that comment from Drew.
Every once in a while, it just comes out of nowhere. Like, we learned that Drew can beatbox. We learned that Drew almost died. We learned, we just don't know what to expect sometimes. We're still peeling back layers of the onion, I feel like, on Drew here.
Yeah, there's still things to learn, you know?
Uh-huh. All right, up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll talk about what's going on with a football team in D.C., and could it be the start of something else? That's coming up.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals, of course, last night win in walk-off fashion. Chance to sweep the Pirates this evening. Chris Bubich on the bump.
I just showed you a new card from Topps. They didn't say when they're going to do it. Bobby Wood Jr. and Jack Caglione writing little notes
it's
to each other.
Pretty cool concept.
Back and forth. Very fun. Very fun.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll be next year or what, but yeah, the card stuff, man. More and more listeners, I think it's kind of cool. More and more listeners are saying, you know, I've been involved in cards in a while, but I just got back in, been listening to the show. They've heard you and I talk about it. They've heard Dusty talk about it. We had a listener on Monday. So Saturday he messaged me and said, hey, I just pulled this crazy card. And it was one of the top prospects, Jesus Madé for the Brewers. He's a top prospect, and it's one of the prospects you want to get, right? He pulled the 101. He bought it at a Walmart, like the retail blaster.
A
blaster box. For those that don't know, like there's a retail box and then hobby. Hobby's more, but it guarantees you an autograph. The blasters don't guarantee you anything, and usually they're not as good of a product. This listener pulled a 101 Jesus Madé. Anyway, he came by the station to pick up something so he can ship it off. He sold it. I don't know if he went, don't know if you'll share his business. It's not his name, but he sold it for a couple grand. So
not bad.
But yeah, point being, more and more people, man, more and more listeners are getting involved in it.
Yeah, just depends on it. It's like anything else, the little bit of stuff. I just thought that's a really cool concept. Next up on What's Trending, Chet Holmgren gets a rookie max contract, 5-year, $250 million for the young Thunder star, emerging star. That means they've handed out almost $600 million, between 550 and 6, I think, between him and SGA in just the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, Thunder obviously positioned. They'll be the favorite, and not just because they won the championship. They've just got the best roster still again, and now are locking up another one of their young stars in Chet Holmgren.
Some news in the NFL today. Tristan Wirfs, one of the best left tackles in the NFL, going to miss the start of the season, according to Adam Schefter. He had a knee procedure to have his knee scoped, cleaned out, likely start the season on the PUP list. Big, big news for a Bucs team that's the favorite to win the NFC South. We were talking about Baker Mayfield, yeah, the other day, and, you know, he put up huge numbers. Now they have a new OC. We'll see what kind of impact this has on Tampa. I know it doesn't directly impact the Chiefs, but that's big news. Anytime a team that won the division the last 3 years, they're one of their top five best players on the team, I would argue, is not going to be available to start the season.
It's a huge deal for them who won three straight. When you say, hey, three straight divisions is a big deal, Gold. How do you keep it from being four straight in a division that's kind of weak? Then you lose your starting left tackle. Next up on What's Trending, Major League Baseball to use automatic balls and strikes in the All-Star game next week in Atlanta. Obviously, they have not decided on whether or not they'll use it in the majors next year, but it could be as early as next year. They'll give it a test for the major leaguers in the All-Star game next Tuesday.
Hey, I'm all about it. I can't wait for next year.
If you've ever seen it in a minor league game, it's incredible. And they tap their helmet. They look at it for 5 seconds like the tennis eagle eye, and then they just make the call. It's a ball or a strike. It's so easy.
That's the thing, is it doesn't take up much time. Like, for those of you worried, no, it does not slow it down. It's a 5 second thing, and it's cool. It pulls up the K zone, as you said on the video board. It's awesome. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. If you're just joining us for the first time today, Sunday, we've got our first event for the Wittesons. We are doing the Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest. We announced today we have confirmed at least one of the big prizes. The winner of the lookalike contest is going to sit with Cody and I in the Crown Club seats on Sunday. You and a guest will sit Crown Club for those who have never sat there, all right?
It's sweet.
It's an unreal experience. All you can eat food and drink. Great seats. We're going to be on. We were told the seats are going to have some on the video board /TV as well when we're rocking the Bobby Wood Jr. gear. And I've had a lot of people text in. You've seen them. Hey, I got a wedding coming up. I can't get my hair cut or whatever. That's all right. If you're, let's say you're bald, all right? You can still do this, all right?
You got 100 wigs.
Maybe you're bald, but you got the stash and the goatee going. We have wigs. You can still win this thing, all right? You can still win it. But if you want, we're encouraging people. We got barbers out there. Go
somebody
ahead and
get
your
haircut. Can I be skinny Bobby Wood Jr.? Can I be fat Bobby
Wood
Jr.?
For sure.
We like a variety in here. We're open to all Bobby Wood Jr.'s, kids, adults, whatever. We're hoping to get a good crowd out there for our Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest. And yeah, the pricing shall reflect that. Alex and I know how to live it up. We can show you the ropes down there. Remember, we went for the one game when Vinny Pasquantino lost his Jets bet to us.
Yeah.
We got a chance to go. It's sweet.
Yeah, someone asked.
Someone's right behind home plate.
Yeah, someone said, are those the dugout seats or the ones right behind home plate? Yeah, they are the Crown Club. They are like the first four rows of seating at the K behind home plate.
If you yelled something at a Mets player, they'd hear you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay? Like, they'd really hear you.
So that's a heck of a prize. We're excited to announce that today as part of the kickoff of the Wittesons to support Bobby Wood Jr. And we hope to see you guys Sunday. It starts at 10:30 outside Gate B, as in Bobby. We'll be out there, be hanging out. There's a chance we'll have somebody stop by, working on some details on that. We'll see. All right? But the prize is, we now know at least we got some Crown Club tickets.
Just want to see if Bobby will help us get it down to like 10, you know? Does he mind popping by for a minute to give us a quick opinion on what he thinks about this? Because it's a lot of pressure on us, Gold, to help choose the winner of the Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest, the first Wittesen event. I don't screw this up. And those, again, you don't remember, we got a little pin says, Bobby Wood Jr. fan club. That's what the Wittesens are.
Mm-hmm.
And officially sanctioned, which this show has done so many unsanctioned things. It's good to be on the right side of the law,
above,
you know?
Board, it's
officially
nice.
Officially sanctioned Bobby Witt Jr. fan club, the Wittesons. That's why they're letting us do the barbers and the lookalike contest on site right there by Gate B. B for Bobby.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Something else that was cool today I saw on social media. The Washington Commanders announced they're bringing back what they're calling their Super Bowl era jerseys. Now, it's only going to be for three games. I think they should do it for more than three, but you guys know, you grew up watching maybe the Washington Redskins at the time, and those uniforms, right, the white jerseys, but you kind of got the stripes, that burgundy and gold color, the classic Washington football team jerseys, right, from when they were the Redskins. They're bringing them back, and I think there's a couple things with this. Number one, they just look sick, okay? And Commanders fans now, like they would go back to the old name and everything in a heartbeat. They would. This team has new ownership. They've been winning games. They have a franchise quarterback. They're trying to get a stadium and move back to the old RFK site in D.C. and move the team truly back to the nation's capital, because they've been playing in Maryland, right? So yeah. They're, you know, that whole area.
It's the also DMV, tight. Yeah.
The DMV or whatever they call it. So, but they want to go back to D.C., and this is kind of going back to their D.C. roots as well.
That's why they're taxing the old D.C.
You think something bigger maybe is at play? I think it's mainly about the stadium and also trying to appease fans that are still upset that they switched from the Redskins.
I think they want it all back, and I think that Josh Harris is doing what I would call a soft launch to find out if people would stomach it. That's what I genuinely think is happening. It doesn't mean I am guaranteeing you they're going to switch back to the old name. What I'm telling you is I think that this is the soft launch to see if they could. Because I think what they truly want is the old branding, the old logo in DC, because he understands, Josh Harris does, that at their height of popularity, that's everything that they were. Hell, they want the people in hog masks in the front row too. They want it all back because they understand now is their best time to capitalize, a lot like what we've talked about with Patrick Mahomes. You have a potential superstar quarterback. At the very least, it appears you've got your franchise quarterback with a chance of it being greater than that, and they want a soft launch whether or not people could stomach it. I had said, and I kind of stand by this, they got a better chance now than when they changed the name, because I think if you look at where just society is, I think that there seems to be a greater chance of getting it by people than the time before. And look, I don't know whether or not that's going to actually take place or they'll do it. I do think it's a soft launch. I think they want to know if they could go back. And I think their fans would support it. The question is,
fans would 100%
how bad
support.
Would you get killed nationally for going back to a name that by changing it, I think you admitted it was wrong, or you admitted that it was not in good taste,
so I,
or whatever it was. You changed it. Now you're going to tell me it was fine all along? That's rich.
So I still think it's unlikely they would fully go back to the Redskins name. I will agree with you that as we sit in 2025, the climate for that is potentially softer than what it was when they made the switch and the noise around all of it. But you already went through the PR mess of the switch, so are you wanting to go back through that? And from a national level, as you said, I agree. I mean, fan-wise, it's not even a question. Their fans would go back to it in a second. They're still ticked off that they switched. You know, winning cures all. Like if you told me the Commanders went out and won a Super Bowl this year, then they wouldn't switch. Like I feel very confident saying that. Like their success is all tied back to when they were the Washington Redskins. So if Jaden Daniels took the Commanders to the Super Bowl, and he nearly did this year, nearly did this past year, NFC title game appearance, rookie year. If they did that, then I think fans would be more accepting. Like if they want a ring with the Commanders uniforms on, I don't think
then
fans,
how are you going to fight the name?
Fans wouldn't care, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I love the look of the unis. I mean, they're going to do it for three games, I think it is. Not the Chiefs.
Three
they're,
games.
They're not.
The it's Chiefs, a soft launch to see if they can just go fully back. The throwback uniforms are better.
Oh, they're sick. The Super Bowl era threads is their official name for it, I guess, is now part of their uniform rotation for Washington. And they play the Chiefs this year. They will not be wearing these uniforms against the Chiefs. That'd be fun, but they will be at Arrowhead.
Again, that would be a bad way to do this soft launch.
I told you, it's the game on the schedule because we've seen the Chiefs play divisional opponents. We see them play the Bills. This is the game I'm most excited for. And maybe by the time we get to October, the Commanders won't be good. I don't know, right? But I want to see Daniels versus Mahomes, Monday Night Football game at Arrowhead. That's the game I'm most looking forward to on the entire schedule.
You know what? Maybe. It's Sunday Night Football versus Seattle, Sunday Night Football versus Denver, and Christmas Day, as you mentioned, versus Dallas are the three games they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there because largely, you know, with Jaden Daniels, it's always the same thing in the league. I hope he can repeat it because it makes it far more interesting. And
sure,
I think I'm about ready for someone in the NFC to like take hold of stuff. All the best quarterback. Like, look, we got in our little not tiff. We all were arguing back and forth of our 1 through 4 quarterbacks in the NFL. We have the same four. Mine are Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, then Burrow. Golds are Mahomes, Burrow, or no, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, then Jackson. We know Drew's is, I'm assuming Mahomes first, Burrow, then I'm assuming Jackson, then Allen. We know that we have a different order, but notice the theme there. I've mentioned four AFC teams no matter what.
So where do you have Jaden Daniels at? I guess now you bring it up.
10, 12, probably. He doesn't deserve to be in the top 10 unless he can repeat it. Because otherwise, C.J. Stroud.
But C.J. Stroud people put in the top 10 after his rookie year.
I didn't.
And yeah, Jaden Daniels had a better year. I would put Daniels 9 or 10. He'd be right there at the fringe of it. Yeah.
I would think he would be 10 to 12 probably. Like just outside the top 10 is probably how I would view it. And that's only because I'm probably giving the benefit of the doubt to a guy I saw have good seasons, but have done it
for sure. I just think watching, and I think you would agree, like watching Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, yeah. I still think he's gonna be fine in his career and everything. Watching Jaden Daniels, I just feel like in every moment, man, he has it. Like,
yeah,
he just has it. He's one of those really special quarters. I think the team might regress this year, though. Like, I think the Commanders, and therefore I guess he would regress a little bit this year. The chance of him having the exact same type of season again is probably not all that realistic. They had a bunch of veterans last year that they signed to one-year deals, and then they had to go do it all again this year. Like, I think the Commanders will probably regress slightly. I think they're a playoff team, but
yeah.
I think they will regress. I don't think they'll be the number one seed and take another leap forward or anything like that. They still have to deal with Philadelphia in their own division. I actually think I'm higher somehow on the Cowboys than most. Not that I think they're going to win 12 games.
I just think Dak is still a good quarterback.
Yeah, I think.
But that's the thing. I put Dak ahead of Jaden Daniels because of longevity.
People would think we're crazy for saying that, I think, because people love to hate on Dak. But I'm with you. I think Dak Prescott gets hated on more than it. I think Dak still is easily a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I know it's easy to hate on him, but I really believe that. And maybe before the start of the season, we'll do our updated NC. I remember I had the spreadsheet from last July.
Yeah,
it was funny.
QB rankings
and it was funny to look back mid season and like how wrong we were on some of them, or I was at least. But we'll do that again maybe when we get up to training camp and stuff. Because last year I was trying to go find it.
I don't think any of us had Goff up there. I would say
no, I didn't.
No, and I still wouldn't. I mean, he's in that 10 to 15 range where he rightfully deserves to be. Mm. I'd have Herbert in the top 10, and I know he hasn't won anything, but I'd still put him in there. He's Trevor Lawrence, but he puts up stats.
This was last June.
Doesn't win games, but he puts up stats.
Because last June, this was my top 10 last June. And obviously, there's some I would love to change now. One was Mahomes last June. Allen was 2. Burrow was 3. Lamar was 4. Dak was 5. Stroud was 6. Stafford 7. Hurts 8. Herbert 9. Rodgers 10. All right, there's two quick changes I would make. Stroud would not be in the top 10 anymore. Stafford, I would leave there. Dak, I would move from 5 to 9 or 10. Hurts, I feel good about him sitting at 8. Herbert and Rodgers would not be 9 and 10. Goff would move all the way up to inside the top 10.
Herbert would still be in the top 10 for me.
Yeah.
I don't think your list is all that bad.
You would have Rodgers, like, what, 15?
Oh, he just, or, no, or I 25? Mean, 25, yeah.
Oh, okay, you'd have him.
My biggest shift would be I would take Stroud out of the top 10, and I would move Dak down 4 spots. I would move Stafford and Hurts up and add Daniels into the top 10.
Yeah,
we'll do this again when we get to
Would you put Baker in the top 10?
French. 11 or 12.
Same range I'm putting Goff, right? Congratulations on being a very good starting NFL quarterback.
But Goff is
going to be amongst the others.
Goff, based on what he just did, Goff would have to be in your top 10. I mean,
he's done it more than 1 year, too.
Yeah, Goff has to be top 10.
Because I think last year, Cody, going into the conversation, going into the season, what you're saying about, well, you've done it for one season, I think that works.
And there's a difference between, and this is always the hang up, and we can do these conversations as training camp starts here in a couple of weeks. Or less than a couple weeks, like a week and a half. But it's like, I always have to like put a disclaimer. Top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Not which quarterbacks I would draft if I was starting a franchise.
Because
if I was starting a franchise, Jaden Daniels is top 5. Yeah, probably.
Somebody says Dak isn't even a top 5 quarterback in the NFC. Okay, come on. See, this is what I mean by hating. Stop. What are we doing here? Let's be honest with ourselves. Like, I'm not saying he's the number one quarterback. Well, name me 5 quarterbacks in the NFC that are better. So,
I think there's an argument potentially for him to be at 5.
Sure, but that's in the top 5.
Yeah, sure.
Stafford and Goff, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, and Dak Prescott are the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFC.
NFC's not as good a quarterback as you think, Texter.
It's not Kirk Cousins.
Baker's solid, but he's not there.
Drew's going to tell me Jordan Love.
No, I think I'm higher on Jordan Love than most.
It's like Kyler Murray.
I would take Dak over Jordan Love right now. Based on what we saw last season from Jordan Love, I would take Dak over him.
And Dak got hurt in week 9. I get it.
And he was having a bad year before that.
But the year before, he was an MVP candidate. So we'll see. My stock watch on Dak is still pretty high. Still.
You and I both maybe are higher on Dak Prescott than everyone else.
He's easy to hate on because he's on the
Dak's
Cowboys.
Dak's definitely
as well.
Top 10.
I think he's firmly in that 6 to 10 category.
I think he's more 9 or 10.
Some of you are texting an AFC quarterbacks. Stroud is not in the NFC, but I hear you. We're talking about somebody said Dak wasn't a top 5 NFC quarterback, and that's why we're not mentioning AFC quarterbacks right now.
No, cracking the top 5 in AFC quarterback, good luck.
You have
to get through the four guys we just mentioned just to be fifth.
This person said Purdy's better than Dak. Okay. I don't think
Stop.
So. No, he's
guys,
not. Jordan Love, maybe. I can understand the Jordan Love one, but Brock Purdy, I don't think so.
I will allow for a certain variance of opinions, okay? There's like a level in which if you want to come on this show and you want to be like, I want to make a strong argument for why Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott, I will allow for a little regular discourse, I would say. But if you're going to come on this and you're just going to be like Brock Purdy, like we're just not seeing the
if
same thing.
If Brock Purdy's
things.
Better than him, then Baker Mayfield is better than him as well. In your mind, I would assume.
I think he's like the 11th best quarterback in the NFC.
I'd assume from the
which means they think Dak is like 17th in the NFL, which is nuts.
Would you take Bo Nix 8-1-6 over Dak? If you, I mean, I think you
could
make
be
it
a fool to do that.
Because Bo Nix and Purdy, would you consider them in the same ish ilk kind of?
I would rather have
production
Brock
wise?
Purdy, I think, but close, yeah. I would rather, I personally would
Purdy
rather have
Nicks?
Purdy. Yeah, over Nix. I would personally. Not with Purdy's contract.
I think it's more
in
the conversation.
Really torn by my love of Kyle Shanahan and my belief in his ability to make people better versus just raw talent.
Yeah.
I always try to envision it as like if Andy Reid was the coach, which of the two quarterbacks would I choose? I'd probably be pretty by a hair. This is why it's fun.
Maybe we'll
rank all 32 this year. You know, every starting quarterback. Who's going to be last?
Yeah, we'll do this.
Who's
32? During camp.
Who's 32? Just off of quick hand. What do we think? Who's going to be dead last? Anyways?
Well, Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson could be there. Tyler Shuck. Yeah, Tyler Shuck.
Oh, Tyler Shuck.
I mean, it just has to be.
Tyler. Bad news for you.
It just has to be. He has a chance to prove people wrong,
right,
but
right.
It has to be.
Without even thinking about it. It kind of has to be whoever starts for the New Orleans Saints, doesn't it?
I mean, how about the Brown situation? I mean, are you taking...
Dude, come on. I got to take...
I mean, but if it's Flacco, Flacco's not 32.
Okay.
I'd put him at like 29. 28.
The Browns quarterback room as a whole.
At least.
Right.
They got chances.
Right.
The numbers that the Saints have are Tyler.
I mean, where's Russell Wilson? 25?
Pretty far down there.
Would you rather have Russell Wilson? I mean, I guess the Steelers would rather have Aaron Rodgers in this case.
I love the Cowboys. I love Cowboy fans. Someone says, you guys are completely drunk. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. Believe me, Dak is a joke. I've seen wet the bed like no other.
At least he gets a chance to wet the bed.
Goodness.
Some of these quarterbacks don't even get to the moment to do that. And also every Dallas Cowboys quarterback has wet the bed because they've made an
your
AFC
ownership
title
and
game.
General manager sucks.
Yeah, that's your problem.
And waits until the day before the season to sign someone we all know they wanted to sign anyway. And they're doing it again for a third straight offseason, this time with Micah Parsons. And they're going to pay him more money when we all know they want to get a deal done anyway. They've done it with CeeDee Lamb. They did it with Dak. And they're going to do it with Micah Parsons. Their franchise stinks from a management perspective.
They have to overcome senility.
Do you like how we said y'all? Mm-hmm. Instead of y'all, it was YAW.
Dude,
y'all.
Dak Prescott 2 years ago had 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, which
that
led
was the
league
MVP candidate,
and only
season.
9 interceptions.
I mean, I just
he had 37 2 years before that.
Yeah, I mean,
idiot things can turn into good decisions.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brian Schottenheimer leads that team to a division title and
coach of the year.
You have got to be smoking something over there.
What year did Joe Burrow come into the league?
2020.
I'm just trying to think, like, I bet the Dak Prescott's numbers are closer to Joe Burrow's in the counting stats than you think.
I think
they're closer than you think.
I bet.
Smiles and glory holds.
And this isn't even meant to be a knock on Burrow, who I've already stated I think is the fourth best quarterback in the NFL.
Dak also, in fairness, he has CeeDee Lamb, but they have been through the ringer of number two and number three wide receivers.
There you go. And Dak Prescott's had injuries too, so it's actually a good comp. Since the year 2020, Dak Prescott has played in 58 NFL games. He has thrown for 15,000 yards, 116 touchdowns, and 46 picks. Joe Burrow has actually played in more games, 69 total games. He has thrown for 19,000 yards, 140 touchdowns, nearly identical, and 46 picks, nearly identical. So, like, and Dak Prescott's actually done it in less games. So, like, before we just, like, bury Dak Prescott, let's be careful here.
Someone says Joe Milton is better than Dak.
You think I'm an idiot?
What?
Milton.
Okay.
Now I
he watched him
joking.
In that game against the Bills week 18 and said, you know what? I can buy into this guy.
Who knew I'd become
Joe Mullen's got a cannon for an arm. That's about
defender.
It.
I didn't expect that, but that's who I am now.
Yeah,
that's who I am now, I guess. All right, guys, we're back at it tomorrow. We'll be talking more, obviously, about what the Royals are capable of doing. We'll keep an eye on some more rumors that are out there on the trade front. And we'll talk a little bit more about Patrick Mahomes and the dollar amount associated with him in building a team moving forward. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. We are back at it tomorrow. The Drive is up next.